is good.
All the time.
And all the time? Amen. 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 I am so glad to be here with you this morning. I'm very humble for the opportunity to stand always and just ask that you would pray for me. I'm nothing, but my God is everything, and I just hope and pray that I can share something with you this morning that will be helpful to you and encourage you along life's way. If you were here 5 years ago, I actually shared what I'm going to share today. But if you were, that's all right, because every time I see this and share this, it always reminds me of where I've been and where I came from. I wish I had seen this earlier in my spiritual pilgrimage, because when the first time I saw it was kind of an aha moment. It let me understand where I had come from, where I was, or where I'd been, and where I was going. And it's three spiritual personalities. You'll find them, and I'll be referring to them. I actually have it on screen in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 will be where we'll be concluding this morning. And as you listen to these, there's three spiritual personalities, and hopefully you'll find yourself somewhere that you've been in all three of them, and hopefully you're in that last one now. And I'll kind of identify where I've been and how God has blessed me and used me and brought me from where I was to where I am today, trying to seek to serve Him. But if you would, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll go into this morning's message. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for Your love for us, and thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we're looking forward to that day. We're going to get come home to be with You on the banks of the promised land. And Father, we can be in Your presence forevermore. But we thank You today that we're sheltered safe in Your arms. And thank You, Father, for Janice as she's come and led us in worship and song. And we just praise You for Your Spirit that we feel here this morning. And I pray, God, if there's one person that does not have that hope in Jesus Christ, that this would be the day that they'd come to receive You as their Savior. And Father, those of us that do know You, that we'd just rejoice in that hope. And Father, get out beyond these four walls and tell someone else that Jesus loves them, that they might have the hope that we have today. Father, we just celebrate You, and we just thank You for Your presence and just blessing this time together. And may You be glorified as we share together this morning. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. The spiritual personalities, we have to go back to the very beginning to kind of set a basis for where we are and where we're going. This is going to represent our body. God took the He created everything in the beginning, and His prime creation was man. And He took the dust and He made what? He formed a what? A body. Well, we'll get it going here in a minute, maybe. Maybe not. Okay. There we go. B-O-D-Y, body. All right? He made a body. That's big and round like me. And it was lifeless, right? And then God breathed the breath of life into man, and I already heard it. Man became what? A living soul. All right? Body's on the outside. The soul's on the inside. Let me ask you a question. Theological question. Are you a body that has a soul, or are you a soul that's housed in a body? Okay. All right, we're going to get to the spirit in just a moment. But which one's eternal? Soul. The soul is eternal. What's going to happen to this body? You know, back to the dust from which it was made. Which one do we spend more time on? Yeah, that's right. The body. Which one should we spend more time on? Soul. Exactly. God made us a spirit, because if we're going to worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He gave us a mind that we can think with. He gave us a will. I think this is what makes us unique from all the rest of creation. He gave us this will, ability to choose. He gave us emotions. We laugh, we cry. We've had a good time this morning as we worship the Lord. And then He wrapped it all up in a body of flesh. And with this flesh, He gave us five senses. The mind, will, and emotion, that's how we relate to God. With the flesh, we relate to one another. He gave us our sight. I can see you. You can see me. He gave us our sound, or our hearing. I can hear you. You can hear me. He gave us smell. I won't go there. You can smell. He gave us taste, and He gave us touch, the five senses: sight, sound, taste, and touch. And He gave us some doorways. This is a door handle, and a door was open to God there in the Garden of Eden. I mean, Adam and Eve fellowship with God. God walked with them. They walked with God. The Spirit was in commune with God. Everything was well. There's a door handle of the flesh, and the door to the flesh is closed. And this is the way it was in the beginning. This is how God created it, and it was good. Adam and Eve had that wonderful relationship with Him. But that brings us to our first spiritual personality, the natural man. The natural man is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Some other words for the natural man would be lost, unredeemed, unregenerated, doomed and down for the devil's hell. That's our natural state. When we come to the age of accountability, we are the natural man. We can't understand the Bible. We can't understand these songs that Janice has been singing if we're lost and don't have the Spirit of God indwelling within our lives. So this brings us to the natural man. And you know, I wish I had time to develop this, but I don't. But think about Adam and Eve there in the garden, and God gave them one prohibition. He said you can eat anything in the garden you want to, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you can eat. Well, another being came on the scene. Satan came on the scene. And if you'll think back, I'm just going to quickly say this. Satan began to tempt Eve. He began to challenge her. God said, you're not really going to die. He says he knows if you eat of the tree, you're going to be like him. So he caused her to begin to think with her mind. He caused her to begin to think with her emotions, to be fill her up. Well, I'd like to be like God. And then he challenged her will. And look at how he did it. He said, look at this fruit. Isn't it pretty? He spoke to her. She heard him. He said, smell it. Doesn't it smell good? And he said, touch it. Doesn't it feel good? Had she sinned to this point? No. She hadn't sinned until what? She tasted it. The five senses, guys, that's where the devil is always tempting us, always trying us, always going to get into our life. And by her, now here's the key, by her own will, she chose to do what God said not to do. Amen? By her own will, she tasted of the fruit, and when she did she die? Spiritually, immediately, she died. The door of the flesh opened, the door to God closed, and the spirit died. And eventually, physical death came as well because of that sin. So this is the natural state. That's why the Scripture can say in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, because of the sin of one man, sin has come upon all the world. So we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who's in control of this person's life? There you go. Not Satan. Flip Wilson coined that phrase a long time ago. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything that you, by your own will, don't choose to do. Amen. Self-will. So I'm in control. The big I. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm living my own life. I'm making my own way. I'm choosing to do my own thing. And so, notice the door is closed to God, and the door is open to the flesh or to Satan. So this leads us to our second spiritual person. And by the way, this person I came to realize I was when I was 9 years old. God convicted me of my sin, And by my own will, I opened the door and asked God to come in. The Spirit was, new life came in, and the door to Satan was closed. But the second spiritual personality, and all of us have been that first one, the natural man, or you either have been or you still are. Okay? You either have been or still are. Definitely, you all of us are that first one. The second one is found in 1 Corinthians 3:1. And brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, verse 2 says, and not with meat, for hitherto you have not been able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. The carnal Christian, the worldly Christian, the one that... what's the difference in this one, the carnal Christian and the natural man? This one is saved. But what's wrong with this picture? Oh, still following self. You see, at some point in this person's life, like I did as a boy of 9 years old, I prayed and asked God to forgive me my sins, come into my heart and save me. I know that He did. Unfortunately, I didn't grow. I continued to go to church for a little while, and then I got my first job when I was 14. I hit those teenage years. Bought my first car at age 16. My mom and dad were just country folks, didn't have a lot of money. So I earned my own way, bought my own car, paid my own insurance, got too big for my britches, got away from church, away from God. And I was saved, but as far as eternity was concerned, I was worthless. I was of no use to the kingdom of God. I was like the branches that Jesus talks about in John chapter 15, when God came to inspect for fruit, there wasn't any. And He should have snatched me out and took me on to glory, because I was just dragging the body of Christ down. Because, yes, I was saved, but this door to Satan was still open. There was this spiritual warfare going on in my life. I knew that if I died, I'd spend eternity in heaven, but I'd have went to heaven empty-handed. I'd have been just like burning the candle at both ends and blowing the smoke in God's face. Just absolutely useless as far as the kingdom of God was concerned. I was a babe in Christ. I was saved when I was 9 years old. And when I was 19 years old, I was still a baby. I hadn't grown. Oh, I had grown physically. I'd nurtured this physical body like I talked about a while ago. I'd fed it, I'd eaten, and I grew physically, but spiritually I was like a flat line. I mean, it was like I had no life at all other than what God had given me, and yet God was dealing with me during that period of time in my life. So, as Mike said, the big I is still in control of this person. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm seeking my own way. Yeah, saved, but no good spiritually. But then God dealt with me, and this is where I strive to be every day of my life since I was about 20. I married Kathy, 19 years old. We got married, and guess what? God began to deal with my heart heavenly. God began to convict me. Now, I want you to know I was backslidden. I didn't seek God's will who I would marry. And God gave me a wonderful woman, but she was lost. But God began to deal with me after we got married. I mean, He just began to deal with me heavily. And we got back in church. And I can still remember the day, today, as if it was just the day that I knelt on my knees and rededicated my life to the Lord. And I prayed that God would forgive me of my sin. I said, I've not been the Christian that I ought to be. I know that I'm saved, and I feel You calling me back to You. And I rededicate my life to You. I said, from this point on, anything that I can humanly do for You, with Your help, I'm going to attend church, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to give, I'm going to tell others about You. And I meant that, and I, from that point on to today, I'm still striving to do that. I'm trying to crucify self. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That ought to be the desire of all of us as Christians, as believers, to try to put Christ first in our lives. And beloved, believe me, God will hear your prayer, and He'll take you up on it, and He'll use you. Now, I don't know about you, but I was the natural man. I came to know Jesus as my Savior. I was the carnal Christian, and folks, the devil don't like you when you try to get where the Lord wants you to be, and He's always going to try to get back in your life. But just to tell you right quick, a couple of things since I came back to God and gave myself to Him, God began to deal with Kathy. And just a few years later, she walked down the aisle, first of all, and the preacher said, well, you're Claude's wife. He just knew she was saved, I guess. Never assume anything. He took her by the hand and said, you want to be baptized, don't you? Well, she didn't know. She didn't know who Jesus was. When she came, they used to come up here, go through the North Carolinas on vacation, and there was this big sign up on the Nantahala Gorge, maybe some of you remember it, said, Jesus saves. She can remember sitting in the back seat of her car with her best friend and laughing at that sign and saying, I wonder what Jesus saves. Does He save green stamps? That dates how old we are. Does He save, you know. But she didn't know who Jesus was. She was raised in Miami, Florida by an atheist father who was an alcoholic. And he retired and came to Georgia, and I met her and fell in love with her, and we got married. In 6 months, we were married. And no, the child did not come 9 months later, as some might thought. We just fell in love with each other. And just a few years later, she walked down the aisle, and the preacher said, oh, you want to be baptized? She didn't know. She said, yeah, I want to be baptized. And I was still growing in my relationship with the Lord that I didn't know what to tell her. And but you know, God dealt with her heart, and a year later she came back and said, you know, Claude's got something I've got. Church has got something I don't have, and I want to be saved. And she came to know the Lord as her Savior. Her mother came to know the Lord as his Savior. Her uncle came to know the Lord as his Savior. Her atheist father, one of the greatest days of my ministries, when he came walking down the aisle and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Folks, when you get to where God wants you to be, you die to self and say, Lord, here am I, use me. He'll take you up on it. And this is where we all need to be, and I'll finish this right quick. This is the spiritual Christian, where we need to strive to be, with the door to Satan closed. And folks, when we get it closed, as I said a while ago, he don't like it. He's going to tempt you. He's going to try to do everything that he can to get that door open. But here's some secrets of how we can live this spiritual Christian life. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. If we're going to be a spiritual Christian, praise God, we've got to let the Spirit of God fill our lives and control our lives and lead our lives in the way that God would have us to go. We as Baptists, we want to put the Spirit in a dark corner. We need to lift Him up. Somebody afraid we might be considered Pentecostal. Well, praise the Lord. Let God have His way in our life. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Folks, it cannot be our will, but it must be the will of God. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God that worketh in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. It can't be my will anymore. It's got to be His will in my life. Like Jesus taught us to say, pray in the model prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in my life as it's being done in heaven. As Jesus prayed in the garden, God, not my will, but Thine be done. It can't be our will. If we're going to be filled with the Spirit of God and be used of God, we've got to let God have His way in our life. Our mind has got to be brought under subjection. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, be ye changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. We renew our mind through prayer. We renew our mind through reading His Word. We renew our mind by listening to good gospel singing, as we've heard here this morning, focusing upon the Lord. And then our emotions. You know, so many people say, well, I'm just a Mathis. I can't help but lie. I'm just a Mathis. I can't help but get angry. No, you're not. If you're saved, you're a child of God. And the Spirit of God that dwells within you produces fruit in your life. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, against which there is no law. So when we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we're going to look like a son of God. Amen? When people see us, they're going to say, there goes a child of God. How they know? But the way we act, the way we talk, the things that we say, and what we do. It's not our will, but it's His will. So we bring this inner man under the subjection of the Holy Spirit of God, living with our hearts. Well, how do we keep the devil at bay? Well, how do we keep that door closed? Romans 6:12-13 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your instruments of the body as unrighteousness unto sin, but as righteousness unto God. Romans 6:12-13. In other words, we're going to mess up, folks. We're going to be tempted, and we're going to give in to that temptation, and that old door is going to start opening. And if we don't immediately confess that sin, say, God, I said it again. God, I thought it again. God, forgive me. And shut that door. The first thing you know, we're going to be back in the carnal Christian state. Folks, the only place we can keep that door open or closed is on our knees before God. Asking for strength, asking for help in our time of need, asking Him to help bring this body, this physical, this mind, the sight, sound, smell, touch, bring it under subjection of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't let sin control your life, because if you do, you're going to be back in that carnal Christian state. But if you'll just pray, when you sin, you know it. When you mess up, you know it. God's Holy Spirit convicts you. That's the purpose of one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit in our life, that He might convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And if we'll just confess those sins, He'll help us to keep that door closed. So keep your body under subjection. Also, the body. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? For you are not your own, for you are what? Bought with a price. Hey, Hannah, how you doing, sweetie? I love you. We're bought with a price. Amen? What is that price? Jesus Christ on the cross. We don't belong. If we've been saved, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We don't have any right to say, well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to say that. We want to say, God, what do you want me to do, and what do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? Let your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. God lives within you. And then finally, Romans 12:1. I beseech you. I love the second message I ever preached was from this passage of Scripture, Romans 12:1-2. And Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, I beg you, Paul says. And if you go back and read the first 11 chapters, it's talking about the grace of God and the love of God. How that's the only way we can be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, I beseech you, I beg you, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. So, this is where I want to be, guys. And I pray that this is where you not only want to be, but you already are. That you're sold out for Jesus, and you're just trying. You know, we mess up, but praise God, we've got a Redeemer that He'll forgive us. We'll confess our sins. You know, I was talking to somebody this week, and they were asking me about how many times would God forgive us, and God had just laid this on my heart not long ago. He says, when the disciples said, how many times shall I forgive my brother? And he said, 70 times 7. In other words, an infinite number. If God expects you and I to forgive each other that much, how much more? Amen. Would He forgive us? Amen? Yeah, folks, there's an inexhaustible grace at the feet of Jesus. And so we can keep this door closed. Don't matter how bad you think you've been. Don't matter how many times you've messed up. Don't matter how many times you did it again. Come back to the fountain. Come back to the blood and be cleansed. So Who's in control of this person's life? Yeah, Jesus is in control. Not me. Not myself. I mean, that's the victory we want, is for Jesus to be in control. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I've died to self. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who? Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So in which personality do you see yourself? The natural man, lost, unsaved, still in control of your own life. The carnal Christian, saved, but just no benefit for kingdom work, just doing my own thing, and or are you crucified with Christ? I pray that you are. If you're not, hey, this altar is open. Jesus is waiting. He loves you this much, and He'll hear your prayer. If you're lost, He'll save you. If you're backslidden, or if there's just a need in your life, or if you've kind of let that door open up and you just need to say, Lord, help me, He will help you. He's there for you. He loves you. Will you come and receive Him today? Father, in the name of Jesus, just bless this time of decision. Thank you for the time we've had to share, and thank you for your presence here today. In your name we pray. Amen. Be glad to receive anybody that needs to come. We'll pray with you. The altar is open. And God is always just as close as the mention of His name. Amen.
Me too.
Let's stand together as we sing.
shall soon dissolve like snow.
Right.
The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine.
Eternal. Amen.
Will be forever mine.
Thank you.
You are
Amen.
Forever mine.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, church, for being here and allowing me to share with you this morning. You may have been familiar with the presentation that came out of a study called Master Life I did years ago, and I've adapted it just to share with y'all, and I pray that it was meaningful to you, and pray that you saw yourself where you've been, where you were, but where you are now. And I pray that you're striving to be that spiritual Christian that God would have you to be. Kathy, you know, God saved her. God restored me. And we didn't know 7 years later God would call me to be a pastor, but she's been a great help to me. And I love my wife and thank God for her. Thank God for what He's done in my life and continuing to do. I would never dream the places He's allowed me to be and how He's used me. I just praise Him for that. And He gets all the honor and glory. Amen? All right. Anything, Brother Mike, come on up and close out however you see fit. Thank you, brother. Amen.